From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, February 10th. I'm Abby Larico. Lafayette Preparatory Academy in St. Louis opened its doors to state lawmakers as they consider legislation that could impact schools.
The legislative branch
hates laws.
The legislative branch
hates laws.
House is based on
population.
St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports on why some representatives are stopping by schools during this legislative session. Plus, occupational therapy and engineering students at Washington University have worked at a rapid pace to create adaptive tech inventions for people with disabilities.
So they actually, we call them co-designers, actually pitch an idea that then the students work on over a 10-day period to fulfill a need with a usable product.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports on the school's Make-a-thon. Those stories coming up after this news on The Gateway. A coalition of immigrant service providers created a hotline for people to report immigration enforcement activity in the St. Louis region. Once people call the rapid response line, trained volunteers will verify if federal agents are in the area and report any information to the person who called. The goal is to reduce fear in communities about immigration agents' whereabouts. Sarah Ruiz is executive director of the ASHRAE Foundation, which is part of the coalition.
The hotline benefits community in a handful of ways. They don't have to remember 12 different numbers. They can remember one. They don't have to wonder, if this happens, what do I do?
The hotline also connects people to immigration attorneys. The number for that hotline, 314-370-7080. The Japanese company that had been trying to buy one of America's biggest steelmakers will drop its bid. Exactly what that means for a Metro East steel mill is not known yet. President Donald Trump said Friday Nippon would no longer buy U.S. Steel, which owns Granite City Works. Instead, Nippon would invest in the American steel company. Both Trump and former President Joe Biden vowed to block the deal. Local and national union officials also objected. Prior to U.S. Steel's sale being announced 2 years ago, the Metro East mill had been part of a separate deal that would close both blast furnaces. Union officials estimated it would cost the region roughly 2,000 jobs. The local union in Granite City could not immediately be reached for comment. County officials in Springfield, Illinois, have reached a $10 million settlement with the family of Sonia Massey. Mawa Iqbal reports.
36-year-old Sonia was an unarmed black woman who was killed by former sheriff's deputy Sean Grayson last summer. She had called 911 to her home to report a potential prowler. Sangamon County Board Chair Andy Van Meter wrote in a memo that the board negotiated with the family's lawyers for the past week. He says that while no price paid can, quote, take back the actions of a rogue former deputy, this agreement is an effort to provide some measure of recompense to the Massey family. The county board will vote to approve the settlement at their meeting next week. Meanwhile, Grayson is in jail custody awaiting trial on murder charges. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Jurors deciding the fate of ex-Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan will continue their deliberations this week. They went home Friday without announcing a verdict. Tensions were high last week when Madigan, his co-defendant, and prosecutors all gathered back in the courtroom to hear a note from the jury. The note asked for guidance in dealing with a technical issue related to some of the charges in his bribery, racketeering, conspiracy trial. The jury has been deliberating now for more than a week. Missouri Republican Party Chairman Peter Kinder says he is hoping to broaden his party's appeal in St. Louis and St. Louis County. Kinder took over as party chairman earlier this month. He says he wants to reduce internal factionalism and help the party's state legislative candidates in 2026. Kinder adds that Missouri Republicans could appeal to voters in the city and county who feel let down by Democratic officials.
And we think we can make an argument that we have some solutions that can do better. And that it isn't just the crime in the city, it's also the city school system that needs attention.
You can listen to Kinder's Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air interview at stlpr.org or wherever you get podcasts. The Philadelphia Eagles dominated the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 59 last night, 40-22. Greg Eklund has the recap from New Orleans.
The Eagles led by halftime 24-0 and extended that lead in the second half to 34-0 before the Chiefs got on the board late in the third quarter. Chiefs coach Andy Reid says very little went according to plan and saluted the Eagles.
They did a nice job. I'm proud of our guys, though, for the battle, the fight that they put in throughout the year and all the games that they've played here over the last few years.
Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes threw three touchdown passes on the night, but his two first half interceptions led to a pair of Eagles touchdowns and put the Chiefs in a hole they couldn't dig themselves out of. From New Orleans, I'm Greg Eklund.
A health club and fitness center in Belleville recently celebrated 5 years of being a nonprofit. While it may seem like a small feat, St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports it's a sign that the community's decision to keep it open has been a success.
In 2019, BJC's Memorial Hospital planned to close the Belleville Health and Sports Center. But the Metro East Gym served 900 people at the time, most of which were senior citizens. Local attorney Pat Mathis and his law partner had the idea to save the gym by turning it nonprofit.
We managed to not just survive, but thrive. And I think a lot of people thought that we wouldn't make it. And I'm not sure there weren't days that we weren't sure we would make it. But we've done that, and I think people are really happy that we're here.
Mathis says BJC's decision to rent the building to them for $1 a month in the first couple of years really helped. After that, the hospital gifted the building and equipment. Since the gym has grown and now has 1,300 members. In Belleville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
As Missouri lawmakers weigh legislation that could drastically impact public education, some schools are opening their doors to legislators to help inform their decisions. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed joined one tour at a Lafayette Square charter school.
Lafayette Preparatory Academy is buzzing with students. It's where Missouri Representative George Haruza, who represents the 89th District in St. Louis County, and the Missouri Charter Public School Association members stop by for a tour. Executive Director Sarah Ranney takes the group into a fourth grade classroom, where students are eager to ask Haruza some questions.
So you guys are the real legislative branch?
Yes, legislative branch. I'm one of a number, so it's not like you have one governor, but I'm one of 163.
The students are learning about the three branches of government and wanted to share how they're prepping for an upcoming quiz.
The legislative branch
creates laws.
The legislative branch
creates laws.
Haruza says he's read about charter schools, but wanted to better understand what they're offering students.
Being able to give the children the choice to go to a school which fits best with their learning style. That's what I'm interested in, because I want to make sure that all the kids have the opportunity to succeed.
Dozens of education bills have been introduced this legislative session, but one stands out: open enrollment. It would be a big win for the school choice movement by allowing families to enroll their children in schools outside of their district. Critics say this would draw families and funding away from St. Louis, which has already seen a big enrollment drop. Ranney hopes that Haruza's visit will help him make decisions that support public schools.
I hope that, you know, as he's thinking about this upcoming legislative session, that he can contextualize that with what he saw and heard today here.
I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. For 10 days this winter, students at Washington University worked around the clock to create adaptive devices for people with disabilities. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton gives us a look at the new inventions.
Eric Westacott's been a lawyer for decades and signs a lot of legal documents. His limbs are paralyzed because of a spinal injury, and as he's aged, it's become difficult to use his existing system. Enter the Makeathon. It's an inventing blitz in which students design and produce a prototype of a functional tech device for people with disabilities. Westacott asked the students to make him a way to write.
It's essentially a little cart, and then there are three posts in which I put my hand in a neutral position that's attached to a pen, and I move the cart across the page to sign my name.
Occupational therapy professor Marit Watson says the event connects engineering students with occupational therapy students and people with disabilities.
So they actually, we call them co-designers, actually pitch an idea that then the students work on over a 10-day period to fulfill a need with a usable product.
She says engineers know how to build things, but not necessarily how to make them user-friendly for people with disabilities. That's where OT students come in. Co-designer Sarah Jean Schwegel plays power soccer, a sport designed for people like her who use power wheelchairs. Power soccer players use a lightweight cage that wraps around the bottom of a wheelchair, allowing the user to push the ball around the court. She shows off how to play in the hallway of WashU's occupational therapy building. The guards in the chairs are usually very expensive. Schwegel asks her team to make an affordable guard so college kids can play.
And have it be attachable to an everyday chair so that people who are interested in trying soccer but don't want to drop $15,000 on a competition chair can try.
The team created one from PVC pipes and zip ties. Altogether, there were 8 projects. One was a wearable harness that helps people with hand tremors eat and drink, and then there was a device that alerts blind people when water is boiling. That earned the Most Innovative Device Award. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was edited by Tracy Tong. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.